Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Talladega, you're in the Pit Stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to the Pit Stop with Tim DeSpang.
Good evening from Dega Nation. Happy 2016. We're back at it again. Our first show of 2016. I'm Tim DeSpang alongside my good friend, CEO of Speedway Digest, Stephen Wilson. At this time, let's go ahead and bring on the Reverend Joe and see how, let's see if Santa Claus was good to the Reverend. Let's bring Reverend in the Pit Stop with Tim DeSpang and Stephen Wilson. Reverend, how you doing tonight, bud?
Happy New Year, buddy. How you guys doing?
Happy New Year. We doing awesome. A little bit chilly down here. I know you moved a little bit up toward the northwest. It's a little bit chilly up there, too.
Yeah, it's raining like crazy, and it hasn't been above 40 in weeks. That's the way it is, you know?
Exactly. I understand, Reverend. Reverend,
we're going down to California for next week. Huh? Say that again?
Did Santa Claus bring you anything?
No, he never brings me anything. He knows better. I'm
going
to give it to the kids.
That.
I don't need it.
I heard that. Now go ahead, Reverend. I know you were going to say something about California.
We're going down to California next week for a week just to take care of some business down there. And I just happened to check down there. It's raining down there. It's raining up here, so I don't feel so bad. But it'll probably rain the whole time I'm down there.
Maybe it won't. Yeah, I was watching the weather earlier, and you know we got Megan coming on. She's going to give us our forecast for the 25th run of the ice bowl here at Talladega Short Track. But, Reverend, since we've, over the holidays, you know, we hadn't had shows, you know, took some time off, but we've had some bad news. You know, we had the passing of Miss Julie Allison, had the passing of Marvin Panch, we had the passing of Joe Williams' daughter, but I'll go ahead and let you have the floor, Reverend. You got the floor. Let's get everything cranked up. 2016 is going to be an awesome year, bud.
All righty. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up all those who suffered these losses, plus the gentleman on Tony Stewart's crew there, actually worked on Danica Patrick's car, suffered a stroke. We ask you to heal him. Ask you to heal the hearts of all those who have suffered losses. We always hate that to happen, but we know, Lord, that our time on this earth is short, and that's why we're supposed to keep our eye on you. So tonight we ask you, Lord, to bless this weekend coming up with this big event, plus the big events going on in Tulsa and all over the country. There's different events going on, so please, Lord, bless them all. Keep everyone safe. Give us a great show tonight and everyone during 2016. Bless everyone. Be with all of our friends and keep everyone safe. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Joe.
Oh,
Reverend Joe, as always, I said it since you've been a reverend for the show. Great invocation. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website, bud.
Yes, our website is ontrackwithjesus.org, and my email address is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. My phone number is 951-232-7630, and you can find me on Facebook. That's the one. Rev Joe at Bubico on Facebook. Just look me up. You can find me on Tib's website also on the Speedway Digest. So give us a holler if we can do anything for you. We try to post scriptures a couple times a day. If you have any questions, give us a holler. We'd be glad to talk with you about it. I want everyone to have a wonderful new year, and you guys have a great show tonight, Tim.
Thank you very much, Reverend Joe. Happy New Year to you and yours, and hope y'all had a Merry Christmas too. And we'll talk at you next Tuesday. And I'll be posting pictures. Suzanne and I are going to attend the 25th run of ISPO here at Tyler's Short Track. And like I said, we've got a track promoter, track owner, and track promoter, Lynn Phillips, otherwise known as Preacher. He's going to come on here at the bottom of the hour and give us some info on the update and everything, what all is going on out there. But Reverend Joe, thank you again. Tell everybody we said hello. We'll talk to you next Tuesday night, bud.
All right. Talk to you next week.
All right. See you, Reverend Joe. All right. That was our good friend and reverend of the show, Reverend Joe. And Stephen Wilson finally decided to join us. We got Megan Thomas waiting. She's going to give us a forecast for here in Talladega for their 25th run of the Ice Bowl with Talladega Short Track. Let's bring Stephen Wilson back on in here at the pit stop. Timmy Spring and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing fine. If this cold weather would get out of here, it's been 19 degrees all day long. I woke up to 17 this morning, and I'm not too happy about all this.
I had to go around and check substations first of the month here, and I had to bundle up. I didn't have my long johns on, but I had that thick and heavy coat on, and you mentioned about the weather. Let's go ahead and bring Megan Thomas in and let her – this is our first show of 2016, like I said earlier. Let's bring ABC 3340, meteorologist, the official meteorologist of the Pit Stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
How you doing tonight, Mother Nature?
I am doing good. I'm trying to stay warm. How are y'all?
I am, too. I wanted to bring Stephen on because Stephen talking about the cold up there. And before you get started with the forecast, I've seen where you made the polar dip in Piedmont. And I sent you a tweet.
Oh.
Have you lost your mind? Was it cold,
Megan? I think I did. You know what? I have done so many things for charities, and I love doing things like that. I've climbed down the side of a skyscraper in Birmingham. I almost jumped out of a plane, but it was cloudy, so I couldn't do it. I'll do anything. I mean, if it's for a good cause. And I had met the lady that it was for. It was her memorial. She passed away. She beat cancer 5 times, and the 6th time, it just got her. So. I got to meet her the year before, and so I felt, why not? I mean, why not? So, I was crazy. It was 34 degrees outside. The water, however, was 57 degrees. But let me tell you, jumping into 57-degree water was like jumping into an icicle. It was so cold. It took my breath away, and I couldn't wait to get out of the water.
I bet you couldn't. I seen the picture Brian Peters took, and, just to talk about that, back in the day when I used to rabbit hunt and all that stuff, I fell in some cold water also. But, Megan, before you get started, I want to let you know on that matter that you helped me out with out in California with Kitty Smurf.
Do what?
The matter that you was trying to help me out with Smurf Cat in California.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I emailed them. And they said appreciate everything, but Smurf was going to go into surgery, and they only let people in the state adopt for medical reasons. So I tried. Thank you very much.
Oh, man, that would have been so cool.
I know it. I know it. We could have brought Kenny Smurf over to the studio.
Yeah.
Stephen, before Megan gets on the forecast here for the ice bowl, you have anything for her? I know you said you're freezing your tail off up there in Richmond.
I am. It's 17 degrees up here. It's really cold.
Megan, you there?
Oh, yes. Sorry. I didn't hear.
Oh, you're fine. Stephen said it's 17 degrees up there in Richmond.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 17 degrees. We won't be 17, but we'll be back in the 20s next week. It's going to be cold around here.
Okay, Megan.
Hello.
Go ahead. let's get everything going for the 25th running of the ice bowl here at Todd W. Short Track. I know I've seen there's some rain in the schedule for. They're starting every Thursday. It goes Thursday through Sunday. I know Saturday looks like it's going to be good, but go ahead. You got the floor.
You got it right. So Thursday, if you're heading out early, it'll be 20% chance of rain. Then Friday, it's going to be a rainy day, not the best. Same sort of deal. On Saturday is about a 50% chance of rain, and then Sunday as well. Highs this week are only going to be in the 40s. On Sunday, we'll be back in the 60s on Saturday afternoon, so that's good. So if it's Saturday, 61 degrees, 50% chance of rain, mostly cloudy. Now Sunday will be mostly cloudy and highs only near 48. So temperatures will be falling pretty quickly. And I believe early next week around here, we'll be looking at highs only in the 30s, overnight lows in the 20s.
Megan, winter finally made it, didn't it?
It did. Unfortunately, this is not my favorite season. I do not like the winter that much, but we got to do what we got to do.
That's right. The good Lord does it. But, yeah, I thought, you know, Suzanne and I went, we took our Thanksgiving and went to Gulf Shores down there, and it was warmer Christmas than it was Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, it was 77 degrees in Birmingham on Christmas.
Oh, Lord.
We broke
anyway,
a record.
Yes, I seen that. Because I watch ABC 3340 religiously. You and James and Charles, y'all do a great job. Megan, I want to thank you again for being our official meteorologist of the Pit Stop, Kenny Spain and Stephen Wilson. I know your time is limited. You got the floor. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your weekend schedule at ABC 3340.
Absolutely. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. You can follow me on Facebook at Meteorologist Megan Thomas and on Twitter at MegTom_WX. And then I am on TV on Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays at 6 and 10, Sundays at 5 and 10. But this weekend, I will not be there. I finally get a vacation.
Well, it's about time, Megan. You've been having to fill in for Charles and James and all that. So go enjoy yourself, Mother Nature.
Yes, I finally get to, because I worked all the holidays, so I finally get to use those holidays.
Yeah, but you get paid that double time for holidays, don't you?
Well, not really. We just get to use the day some other day.
Sorry. Okay. Megan, thank you very much for taking time out tonight to come on and give us the ice post schedule, and we look forward to talking to you next Tuesday. If everything's good on your schedule, we'll talk to you next week.
All righty. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Megan. Have a good night.
Mm-hmm. You too. Bye.
All right. Bye. That was our meteorologist, Stephen. Monday 3340. We went off into a deep one right there. But I know you and I had talked. Well, let me throw this out there. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. Tonight, Stephen and I are going to look to the 2016 NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series and see some changes or whatever. I know there was some stuff in GMAS. With Grant Enfinger coming up to the going to run a few truck stuff. And, Stephen, I think, do you have any breaking news? I know we have a little bit of stuff going on. Do you have anything right off the bat before we get into this?
Well, one of the things that we've already heard about yesterday is that Hendrick Motorsports has brought over Darren Grubb from JGR, who stepped down over there this past year. He is going to take over and fill the spot as the vehicle production director over there. Him and Kenny Francis are also going to be working there it taking over a lead role producing and working on the vehicles within the Sprint Cup Series for the four teams over there. So that's one of the changes that we've already started to hear about. One of the other things that just came out today is that Hillman Racing has been bought out from by Premium Motorsports. This was kind of unexpected because we didn't expect for Hillman Racing to disband like this, but all the assets from Hillman Racing have been bought by Premium Motorsports this year. There has been no announcement on the driver as of yet. Landon Castle drove the number 40 car last year with several different sponsorships from Snap Fitness and others throughout the 2015 campaign out there. No word as if he's going to return to that number 40 car or if they plan on putting somebody else into the car per their press release today. So that's what we have going on right now as far as breaking news.
Yeah, and I think you might have been first to break it today, too. I think you and I both got the email from Mason Mitchell Motorsports, if you want to talk a little bit about that. What's the young kid's name? I think it's Logan Jones. They're going to do a driver development deal with him.
Yeah, Logan Jones has been signed on to Mason Mitchell Motorsports. He's going to run some races for them this year as a development driver in the ARCA Series 2016 campaign. He's been running in the USAC Series over the last couple of years, also some AMA, ACMS Sprint Cup, also a couple other series that he's been running in through the last couple of years. So he's going to move up into ARCA Series for a limited development driver for the ARCA Series. And he's also going to run in possibly the Can-Am Pro Series from Mason Mitchell Motorsports, if possible. But right now it just looks like that he's going to be in the ARCA Series for them as a development driver.
Okay. Yeah, I knew I had seen something like that on the SpeedwayDigest.com. And I see when, you and I talked briefly this morning, we've got a guest that wants to join us and sort of hang around while we're waiting on Liam Phillips, track owner, promoter from Tyler Short Track, going to give us an update, which I talked to him earlier, so I'm pretty sure he's got a lot to talk about. But let's bring on a good friend from Wayne Peterson Motorsports and ARCA Racing Series, Rowdy Maglock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Rowdy, how you doing tonight, bud? We're going to talk a little bit of 2016 Camper World Truck Series stuff.
I'm doing wonderful tonight. How about you guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rowdy. Happy New Year, Rowdy. And, Rowdy, do you have any breaking news out of NASCAR, out of ARCA that you've heard that Steven and I have not?
No, we're just kind of gearing up for testing the 15th and 16th at Daytona right now. I'm kind of looking for some great things to break out from there. It looks like there's more Elmore Motors have joined into the fray there. So I think the racing is going to be a lot better this year with the Elmores.
I think that's one of the best things ARCA did when they implemented that Elmore engine, don't you, Steve?
Yeah, when ARCA did implement that in the past year, we did see, obviously, between the teams that were running it and the teams that weren't running it, there was obviously a performance difference between the teams. And coming into 2016, I don't think without a doubt that the teams that did not run it in the 2015 campaign in the ARCA Series, that you look back at the performance, with GMS and everybody else, especially in what they were able to do. These teams that didn't run it, they've got no choice in 2016 but to run it if they want to stay competitive in this series. With the sealed engine the way that it is, I think it's a better opportunity for the teams. It can run longer. They could put more race miles onto this engine most definitely and not have a rebuild cycle, potentially saving some of these teams a little bit of money. And that's, at the end of the day, what ARCA was really hoping for when they went to the Elmore engines. to help and save, you know, some of these teams money. It's Arca isn't known for having the best payout, especially even for wins. When you collect a $10,000 or $15,000 payday to win at some of these racetracks, when you can get two races out of these Elmore engines, it really helps some of these teams financially when you're not backed by somebody like GMS Racing or, you know, anybody else in the field even JGR and some of the other teams out there that have kind of helped out some of these teams.
Well, the initial shock of it was the tough part to take for some of these teams, but now, you know, there's going to be a free up of used motors. So it was great to see some of the guys that I talked to during the end of the season wanting for sure what they were going to do. And then Prater, the number 9 car, Thomas Prater, and then they announced this weekend that they had went and bought them a motor. That's good for their program. It's going to add a lot to closer competitions between the teams.
Yeah, I will definitely agree. Rowdy, just like Steven said, I mean, you know, you got to, being in that series, you know, you got to penny pinch and everything. But before our guest comes up here at the bottom of the hour, let's talk about some truck stuff this year, Steven. I was listening to SiriusXM NASCAR Channel 90 the other day, Steven and Rowdy, and Brian France mentioned the possibility of maybe doing a chase scenario with the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series and also the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And y'all both know as well, they don't. Every driver don't race every race in the truck or the Xfinity series. Well, the Xfinity series, you know, they got it's pretty solid field there. But you drop back to the trucks, and you know, with Brian France saying that the fans are wanting it, and he said on Sirius that they were going to look into it and see what they could do to try to make it work. Steven, do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, my biggest thought into this whole process is that in the Camper World Truck Series, and even the Xfinity Series, in the Camper World Truck Series, you only had 11 drivers or 11 different teams that competed the entire different. I'm sorry, 12 different drivers that competed in the entire season. So when you only have 12 drivers that compete in the entire season, how do you implement a chase? And now in the Sprint Cup Series, we have 16 different drivers that go into the first round of the chase. It's hard to put a number on implementing a chase in the Truck Series when you have so few drivers that compete throughout the entire season. You know, you take the 12th place driver in that series, John Hunter Nemechek. He only competed in 18 events. Now, John Hunter Nemechek is an anomaly in that because he was ineligible to race in the first handful of races because of his age. Could he have competed in all 23 events if he was age-wise? Yes, I think that you would have had that 14th driver, but 13th different driver. But unfortunately, you didn't. The NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, unfortunately, is another ARCA series where when you look at a lot of these different events, they're not the greatest paying events at all. You know, a lot of times first place is in the $45,000 range. The biggest points paying race that they have is at Daytona. They bring home somewhere around $50,000 or $60,000, somewhere along in that range. And the last place in most of these events bring home anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000 on an average event. So implementing a chase in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series isn't going to work because then you have a majority of the teams out there that just don't run all of the events. You need to have more quality teams that are running in the Camping World Truck Series before you start looking at a chase scenario in that series. It was always meant and developed to be a feeder series into the higher Xfinity or Sprint Cup Series. And until you can get a majority of the teams running every single event and quality teams running every single event, then that might be a point that you can start making and justifying into implementing a chase in the Camping World Truck Series. And the argument can also be made it can be seen for the Xfinity Series. You look at the Xfinity Series over the last couple of years, and I think this past year we had something about, and I'm actually looking this up right now, this year we had 119 different drivers that entered into a NASCAR Xfinity Series event. Out of those 119 different drivers, we had less than 20 that ran every single event out there. So there again, how do you put the number on that when you have 20 different drivers or less than 20 different drivers that ran in every single event? There again, most of these drivers are affiliated with a Sprint Cup team of some kind, whether they be Roush Racing or whether they be JGR or RCR or whoever it may be out there. So, you know, these are meant to be feeder series, and until the quality of you having a more sustainable series with 40 teams or 35 teams out there that are running every single week like you do in the Sprint Cup series, I don't think it's the right time. I think the points paying and the purse paying needs to be higher before you do it, but I understand why the purses aren't higher in these series. They're meant to be development series. They've been meant to be feeder series into the Sprint Cup series. They're meant to be learning series for these young and upcoming drivers to learn themselves, learn the tracks, and develop themselves to get to the Sprint Cup series. And I just don't think at this time, but you can also look at this year. The NASCAR Xfinity Series, there was only a 15-point margin between the Chris Buescher and Chase Elliott. It came down to the last event this past year. The same was in the Camping World Truck Series. There was 15 points between Tyler Reddick and Eric Jones. That race came down to the very last event, too. We had three championships all decided at Homestead Miami Speedway. What better perfection that you could have asked for in the NASCAR series between the three touring series that you couldn't have asked for better perfection at that point? I just don't think with all of those things combined that this is the right time to look at any kind of chase in the two series, the Xfinity or the Camping World Truck Series.
I will agree, Stephen. And, Rowdy, to throw that sort of back at you, you know, the ARCA Racing Series, you know, Grant Anfinger won his first ARCA championship this time, and he won it, you know, pretty decently point spread there. Do you think ARCA might look at something, or what are the, as far as the numbers that you have, as far as what Stephen has, as far as the number of teams that compete in every race in ARCA Racing Series, and do you think it'd be worthwhile to maybe implement some type of chase?
I tell you, it worked out awesome for the Sprint Cup guys. I don't know how anybody could complain the way the finish of all three series ended this year, or four, down to ARCA. I mean, it was all season long was pretty great racing. Then to get down to the very finish, and then you at the end of the year, and how close the last race was. But ARCA, I would think ARCA, it would be great to implement something where in the past, you know, when you get down and you're on lap 30 and you're in second place and you're crowned the champion. I like it when who's the closest to the top, if you win the race with the most points, you're the winner at the end. I mean, that's we've all been that, you know, when they won it in the past, when they would go down and the winner was decided before the race was over. I just didn't like that. But I would love to see ARCA come up and implement a finish like NASCAR's got. It would be great.
Yeah, and just to throw the point spread out there, Grant Anfinger won the 2015 ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards by 425 points. It was second place off to Wayne Fell. You know, you brought up a good point, too, Rowdy, just like Stephen did, about, you know, you got to have that. But, you know, like back in the day when Stephen, when they used to race their last race at Atlanta instead of Homestead Miami, you know, you might have crowned a champion two or three weeks before you got to that last race at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Yeah, I mean, that a lot had to play into it. You would go to Rockingham a lot of times, and you were already crowning a championship. You look at Matt Kenseth in the last years of his championships. He was crowned the champion at Rockingham. You look prior to that, it was the same way. You would go into Atlanta a lot of times in the week prior to Rockingham or 2 weeks prior, you would already have a champion. You look back to 2014. Chase Elliott was crowned the Xfinity Series championship at Phoenix the year prior. So, you know, I can see that, you know, there's two sides to every story on this, and there's a lot of unknowns on how you do it. I think, like I said, the biggest argument that you're going to always look at is that in the Camping World Truck Series and in the NASCAR Xfinity Series is you just have to look at the quality of the teams. How many different teams are out there that are really running every single week, and how do you put that number onto it? When you have the Camping World Truck Series that only has about a dozen or so full-time teams into it running every single week, what is the magic cutoff number? How do you justify putting a chase number on that? You can't say 12 teams because there's only 12 teams out there running every single race. So that's unfair to the other 28 teams that show up for three-quarters of the events throughout the year. Or you say, okay, well, I'm only going to do six. Well, that's unfair to the other six that ran the other full time of the season. You know, it's a catch-22 no matter how you do it. I understand both sides of the argument. I just think that when we get down to the nuts and bolts of these issues, I think that really until you get to the point of NASCAR Xfinity and NASCAR Camping World Truck Series really getting into the fact of in the truck series having 25, 30 teams out there in the field that are running every single week, and NASCAR Xfinity Series having 30 or 35 teams out there running every single week, then I think that's a more sustainable number to say, okay, well, we have a lot of quality teams out here. It's a fair advantage to everybody to say, okay, we're going to justify the number at X or Y or Z or whatever we pick, other than just saying, okay, well, there's only 12 running in the truck series and there's 20 running over here. We just keep, there's too low of numbers right now. There's, like I said, there's 115 people that took the flag this year in the Xfinity series. 116 of them took the flag this year in the Camping World Truck Series. It's too big of a series, especially to do this in, especially with them not running any events, not all the teams running all the events.
I'll agree, Steven. Just like you said, I mean, it's a catch-22. I mean, you know, in the Sprint Cup Series, you got 43. I mean, you know, you got 43 cars that make the thing every race. And, you know, you got them that run the Xfinity Series and trust it. But anyway, a long story short, we've got our guest waiting, track owner and promoter. From Talladega Short Track, Mr. Lynn Phillips, otherwise known as Preacher. Let's bring Lynn into the pit stop with Tim Despain and Steven Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Preacher, how you doing tonight, bud? I know we talked earlier. You said you'd give out.
I'm pretty tired, but we're getting ready to go. Hey, by the way, that's the best introduction I've ever had.
Well, thank you very much. You're on the best NASCAR talk show, aren't you?
That's right. Hey, it's glad to be on, and I'm just glad to be on, and everything is moving along by 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Hopefully we'll have everything ready to go to open the gates up Thursday morning at 9 a.m. and let the cars start piling in, and we'll go practicing around noon Thursday and get Ice Bowl week off to a great start.
Sounds good, Preacher. And, you know, you and I talked earlier. Is Aaron about to get everything, all the...
Likes a little bit tomorrow, and then we'll be ready to go.
Okay.
Just a little bit more electrical work tomorrow.
Okay. And, Preacher, you know, you and I talk all the time, but can you give us an update about... you got the concession stand, about the PA system and everything. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, our PA system coming in from California will be here tomorrow by air freight, and that's one of the few things we lack. And we'll start working on the racetrack tomorrow. Of course, it was a sad thing to lose our tower and all that fire, but looks like that was an electrical fire, according to the fire marshal, and starting one of the breaker boxes somehow. And but we'll rebuild bigger and better. We'll rise from the ashes, but we, due to the, you know, just people outpouring of help and offers of equipment and everything, we're going to be ready to go. And especially like to thank Mickey and Martha Swims over at Dixon Rome Speedways. They got us a nice concession trailer to replace our main concession. So, you know, it's just coming around. I mean, everything's coming around, and we'll be ready to go Thursday morning.
10-4, Preacher. And Suzanne and I, we will be out there Saturday and Sunday. But I want to hand you over to my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com in Richmond, Virginia, Mr. Stephen Wilson, because I know you and I talk all the time, and I know Stephen's got a lot of questions. I'm going to step aside.
All right.
Lynn, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here. I know you guys have put a lot of work into this, just trying to get back into gear and get these things put back together, especially with kind of short notice on trying to
get
this ice ball running back again. Yeah, I know that I had heard somewhere that you guys are going to have somewhere around 250, 300 different cars out there running around for the ice ball this weekend. Talk a little bit. What's that?
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, you know, it could be around 300, the low 300s, 325, somewhere in that range, I think. The all-time record was back in 2005, I believe, or 2006, 403. But it settled down some now. Around 350, 330, somewhere along in there. It's just we dropped one class this year, but I think we've got we'll build that back out in some of the other classes to even it back out. So I look for at least 300, probably 325, somewhere in that range. But you never know. Could be more. I don't think it'll be many less than 300.
So, you know, this is arguably probably one of the biggest races that kick off the racing season here in the U.S., especially on a dirt track out there. And you guys, like I said, you've kind of been put behind the eight ball, and you know, you take a look at the outpouring of support, especially from the other tracks that brought in the concession trailer for you guys, the other equipment and everything that you really need to get this operating and running this weekend. Talk a little bit about all of what you guys have just put into this and how hard you've had to work to get this ice ball, being behind the eight ball as you have, to get this back into gear and really running forward.
Well, you know, we had to clean it up first after the fire marshal released it and signed off on his investigation. And we've had equipment loaned to us. I mean, it's just been an outpour, not just from the racing community, but just fans and just neighbors up the road and offering equipment and anything we needed. And I especially like to thank, again, Coosa Valley Electric Co-op. Those guys are just great people to work with, and Aaron Pate and his crew that does our electrical work on the side. I mean, they've done just a great job. We had some wires burned, of course, you know, coming into the tower and all, and had to be new wiring put in around that on the poles. It melted 2 meters. So, you know, it's been something. It's been heartwarming to me. You know, I've been doing this a long time. It's 37 years. And, you know, it just seems like racing people come together when something like this happens, and we see it in every level of the sport. It doesn't matter whether it's drag racing or NASCAR oval track running or road racing, short track racing or whatever. The racing community has got some of the greatest people in the world in it.
Yeah, arguably. And you take a look at social media and everybody that's just really just shown an outpour of support and everything that they've offered. Just in stuff that we've shared out, and people that have offered to try and contact you guys on whatever you needed, tried to push it your way. But, you know, you're looking forward to the ice ball this weekend, and you talked a little bit about the amount of cars that you're going to run this weekend around there. Talk about the different classes that you're going to run out there. What makes it so special for the ice ball to run this early in the year and put that many cars on the racetrack to just really kick off the racing season?
Well, there's nobody else running, I think, this weekend except the Chili Bowl. That's an indoor race out in Tulsa. But, you know, this is kind of the kickoff to the racing season. And this is just a traditional deal. It's just got a big following, and a lot of super late model drivers come. And our sportsman division's always got a big class count, car count. Crate Lake malls have grown so much in the last few years, and of course, our street stock, I think, is going to be way up this year, and the Neesmith Chevrolet street stock and Crate Lake Model divisions. Of course, our Bombers and Hot Shots, they always have great car counts, and just everybody's ready to go racing.
You know, when you talk to a lot of different people, especially in the racing community, a lot of these drivers, they come through the dirt tracks and on their way of making it into NASCAR or USAC or IndyCar or whatever they have in their grand plans to make it big. And you have had a lot of different drivers that have come through the Talladega short track over the years. Bubba Wallace has run there and a lot of other drivers that have made it into NASCAR. When you start thinking back over the years that you've been there and seen a lot of great drivers just come through that place and where they've gone throughout their career, what is your biggest, what do you give to some of these drivers, especially to the up-and-coming drivers as far as advice when they come through there?
Well, I think it's the drivers, especially this young generation, is coming off go-karts. And of course, we got a go-kart track, too, that we run April through end of October. But that has fed our stock car track. But, you know, there's so much talent out here now. I mean, it's just we have them come off the go-kart track and come over the stock car track and start running. Some of them go run asphalt. And, I mean, just an example, Brett Holmes is grew up at Talladega Short Track go-kart racing and stock car racing. They bought an ARCA team. They bought the GMS Grant Enfinger's team. And they'll go test at Daytona in a few weeks. And it's a stepping stone. But, you know, the bottom line, it just takes money. And if there's a negative to the sport auto racing, it's just in every level. It takes a lot of money to build race cars and keep them up. And, you know, it's just, but it's just a great thing to get young people involved in. We've got more female racers now than we've ever had. We've got a lot of the young guys, I mean, they're coming right off the go-karts and going right into Crate Late Model racing, which is a more affordable end of the late model show. But it's just a lot of people right now is, got an interest in dirt late model racing in all classes. I mean, we have an entry level class all the way up to however how much you want to spend, really. So it's just been a lot of young guys is really feeding this sport in the last 10 years, especially.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here and talk about the ice ball this weekend. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. Good luck this weekend, and glad you guys are getting back and making progress on everything.
Listen, great talking with you.
Preacher, do you have time to take a caller?
Sure.
Okay. It's my good friend, Rowdy Maglite. He works on the Wayne Peterson's ARCA team. This is Rowdy. I think, Rowdy, aren't you coming to the Ice Bowl this weekend also?
I'm looking forward to being there Saturday morning, Richard. It'll be my first time to be at the Ice Bowl, and it looks like you really have worked hard to be able to push this forward so everybody will have this Saturday, and I told Tim last night that I'm looking forward to being there Saturday.
Well, I appreciate the good words, and be glad to have you with us Saturday. And Saturday is a big day, a lot of heat races. And, I mean, that's always a big spectator turnout on Saturday because you got all the late model heat races and Crate late model heat race. I mean, that's the day that you see more races for the buck than any other day. Of course, Sunday will be the conscious and the features. But Saturday is always an interesting day with qualifying and heat races. It's always a jam-packed session.
Well, Preacher, you hit it right. When the only downfall to auto racing is the money. It's just so expensive to operate. It
sure
all boils down to the buck.
I know, and I know Wayne, and he's been around a long time. And I'll tell you what, he's a survivor. And Wayne, he does a great job though, and he's provided a lot of young drivers with experience, especially getting them certified it to run the super speedways and all. And he's Wayne Peterson is a gem in the sport of auto racing. He's been around a long time, and he's forgotten more about asphalt super speedway racing than most people ever know.
Well, it's incredible. I hang around and some of the stuff that I've learned in the last 2 years, and I try to be like a sponge and soak it all in when I'm around him. And he is really, really an American icon to know his true history of his life.
That's right. He has I know I'm getting away from the ice bowl a little bit, but we need Tim needs to get Wayne on maybe sometime. It'd probably take a 3-hour show, but
I'm going to
tell you something. Wayne raced out of Boaz, Alabama for years, and I think he's up in Shelbyville now, isn't he? Or Fayetteville, Tennessee?
Pulaski.
He's
in Pulaski, yeah.
But, you know, he wasn't a World War II veteran, Korean veteran. But
Vietnam.
He's a national hero, American hero. But if you look up at who has driven his cars, and a lot of people don't know about this, it's a who's who of auto racing has been in his ARCA cars.
It's incredible. It shocked me to look through there.
His profile, if you go to that Wayne Peterson Racing website, you'll be on it an hour at least. It's amazing. Well, listen, we'll get the practices in Thursday and Friday. And we'll look forward to seeing you Saturday. Look me up. I'll be around somewhere. But tell Wayne hello and good luck. I'm sure he's got it leased out for Daytona. And we'll see you at the Ice Bowl Saturday.
Yes, sir. So if you got kids under 9 and under, admitted free. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Can't beat that. That's a great place to load your kids up. Your grandkids will come and watch some good racing.
There you go.
Sounds good, y'all. And, Preacher, if you can, before we let you go, do you remember in your head what time the gates and everything open from Thursday to Sunday?
I sure do. The gates open Thursday and Friday at 9 a.m. Well, action on the track will start around noon. Saturday, we'll open the gates at 8, and we'll try to have track activity underway around 11 or shortly thereafter. And then Sunday is 9, gates open at 9 a.m., and we'll start everything up at 12 noon.
And, Preacher, also, everybody can follow Talladega Short Track. It's Talladega Short Track on Facebook. And I think, finally, Talladega, at Talladega Hornets, Short Track Hornets Nest on Twitter, correct?
I believe that's it.
Okay. Preacher, we appreciate it, bud.
Well, Tim, we thank you.
Unless you got something else, Preacher.
Hey, listen, we could talk all night, but I know you guys are on time schedule. And but listen, it's been great being on this show, Tim, and y'all do such a great job with it. And just try to get got a little rain. Looks like Thursday night. I think it's a workable deal. I've looked at it. I think it looks worse than what it really is. Most of this rain's going to be at night. Thank you. Appreciate you letting me be on.
You're welcome, Preacher. I'll sit down and I'll see you Saturday morning, bud.
All right. Thanks.
All right, you're welcome. All right, that was Lynn Phillips, track owner, promoter at Talladega Short Track. We've got Rowdy and Steven still left. Does anybody have any? Let's see. We talked a little bit about the truck stuff, didn't we, Steven? Rowdy, yeah, we all talked. Does anybody have any final thoughts before we break it off our first show of 2016? Steven, you go first.
I don't.
Rowdy?
I'm just looking forward to seeing y'all this weekend, getting back to listen to some motors running. Maybe grab some of that Johnny's barbecue that they're bragging about over there. Nothing better than racing
and
barbecue.
Exactly, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Rowdy, and I'm sure Stephen will agree with me. There's nothing like a hot dog. You know, just the hot dog roll up and you put your ketchup and mustard and your sauerkraut. There's nothing like a hot dog from a racetrack or a football game, a high school football game or whatever. It's not like a hot dog at home. Why is it so much better at a racetrack than a football game?
I don't know, but you're exactly right.
Rowdy,
so long as it's a Martinsville hot dog.
There you go, master.
Got to be a Martinsville hot dog. Yeah.
Well, they kind of changed the hot dog up at Martinsville this time, but everybody said it was as good, if not better, than what they had before.
They are. They're the same thing, because you can buy both of the Jesse Jones and the Valleydales here in Virginia, and you can't tell the difference between the two.
Well,
Rowdy,
Steve,
have you ever had a Martinsville hot dog?
No, sir, I haven't, but I hope Steve keeps that 17-degree weather in Richmond.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, when Suzanne and I made our first trip to Martinsville up there with Stephen and his darling wife, Anne Marie, Stephen kept saying, "I want a Martinsville hot dog." You know, of course, we was eating in the press box or whatever. But Stephen goes down, he didn't buy one Martinsville hot dog. He come back with a dadgum grocery sack slap full. Right? I mean, we had Martinsville hot dogs for days, and they are awesome.
Well, you can't just buy one of them things. You got to come back with a whole bag full of it. Otherwise, you ain't never had a Martinsville hot dog. I mean, that's the thing there. You got to figure out how many you can eat before you explode.
If you don't bring back enough, Steven, there's somebody biting on the other end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. All right, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media. Y'all killing me with this hot dog.
RowdyMagLight.com on Facebook and on www.RowdyMagLight.com. I'm the easiest guy to find in the world.
Rowdy, that sounds good. Suzanne, I'll see you Saturday at the Tall Dude Short Track Steven. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website.
You can follow us on Twitter at Speedway Digest, Facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com.
Gentlemen, had a great time. I'm going to play a song and sign off. This was our
enjoyed
first show
it, guys.
2016. Thanks to Lynn Phillips from Talladega Short Track. Thanks to Rowdy Maglight from Wayne Peterson Racing and Arca Racing Series. Thanks to my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Steven Wilson. Steven, well, I'll be sending you pictures and stuff this weekend, and we'll do it again next Tuesday night, live from Talladega, Alabama.
Gone, she gets some playing a little. Don't worry, be happy.